All right, here we are on a Thursday morning, and the 9 o'clock hour is dedicated to Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. It is our weekly call-in show, and I hope that you'll be joining us this morning. Joining me this morning is also Mr. Matt Workinger. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Pam.
And also Ms. Rachel Fender. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing good, doing good.
Busy.
Yeah. Boy, Matt, I just posted all the pictures that you sent, even the beautiful flowers.
And yeah, I figured that one looked good after the pictures I sent you with snow-covered trees.
Yeah, snow-covered trees and then some beautiful flowers. So tell folks, if they go to our Facebook page right now and take a look at these pictures that you sent, what are they?
So I sent pictures of our greenhouse. Rachel, tell them what we got in there.
We got in beautiful pansies that are just loaded with flowers, and some primrose that are, they're just beautiful. So if you walk in that greenhouse, it's just like, it's very exciting. It smells great, and the color is fun to see.
Yeah, color explosion.
Yes.
Beautiful pictures of that.
You didn't like the snow-covered trees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're beautiful, too. It's time for them to go.
We've been seeing those a lot, though. Yeah.
I love them all. What's the deer?
Oh, so that's cool. I forgot I sent you that picture. That is a arborvitae. So it's an upright, skinny arborvitae called an emerald green. But somebody took a wire frame and bended it and sculpted it and actually turned it into an animal. And it can be trimmed to be kept that way for years to come. So that was a special order we brought in for a customer. They were looking for an animal made out of a plant, and so we ordered that in for her.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, we get some of those cool ones in from time to time.
I think we got some suns and moons and stars and all different kinds of things where the plants have been trimmed to look a specific way. Now, it does take maintenance to maintain that shape about twice a year, good sharp pair of scissors or pruners. And you're going to be out there trimming on that plant to maintain that shape. If left alone, it'll just grow into a blob.
Oh, okay. But okay.
When they're trimmed.
Kind of like me. No.
Hey,
sorry.
That's my winter weight.
Yeah. So you have to just, there's a lot of, I would imagine, you know, like you say, maintenance.
Twice a year, you're going to have to do some maintenance on that. And when they're stressed out because we're trimming them so hard and shaping them like that, we generally use a preventative insecticide on it. Normally, I'm not a preventative insecticide guy. Wait till you see a problem, then treat, because you just don't want to overuse insecticides. But on a plant like that, that's kind of the exception to the rule. That one you want to be proactive about because it is naturally stressed because of what you're doing to the plant. So it's better to be proactive on that one.
Is that what you put in the ground?
Yes, that can be either a granular applied to the soil or a liquid applied to the soil that'll be absorbed into the roots, and then it'll run through the sap system and up into the top of the plant, or it can be a topical spray. Those you're not going to put on until later in the year, probably middle, end of May, before you make an application of the topical stuff. But either one can be used. The granulars are probably the best and the longest lasting. They can be put right into the soil, and it will protect that plant from most of the insects out there.
As far as the topiary goes, that's what I was wondering. Can you put it in the ground or do you have to keep it in a pot?
No, it can be either or.
Okay.
So in that container, there's like a wooden crate attached to that, and it's grown in that wooden crate. It can stay in that crate for a season or two and then be planted in the ground, or it can be planted directly into the ground. That's up to the customer and what they want to do with it.
Obviously, I've never had one, so.
Well, those are good questions, though. All right, speaking of questions, if you have any or you have some comments, make sure you get on the phone and give us a call at 330-450-1480, and we'd be happy to chat with you. You can also send an email to me, pcook, P-C-O-O-K, at whbc.com, and I will be more than happy to ask the questions for you. And I do have an email here so far this morning. This one is from Myra. And Myra says, when will Roars be getting pussy willow trees in, and when should they be planted? And also, how tall do they grow, and are they a fast-growing tree?
Okay, lots of good questions.
Yeah.
So pussy willow is one of the faster-growing trees. As long as it gets enough moisture, it'll grow like a weed. They can be planted from any time that we get them in and the ground's thawed, and you can get a shovel in the ground, they can be planted. They'll always do better in the ground than above ground, either in a container or balled and burlap, which is what the bigger stuff is. Now, we do have some weeping pussy willows here. They're still packed away in our hoop house. Our goal is to try to get that hoop house unpacked next week. So I would say probably by the first week of April, we should have pussy willows in stock ready for sale.
Oh, nice. All right. So if you're looking for something that's going to grow quickly, and when you say fast growing, what do you mean by that?
That's a good question, too. So fast growing, these trees can push upwards of 2 foot of growth a year.
Okay.
So a medium grower is kind of in that 6 to 12 inches. A slow grower is less than 6 inches a year.
Yeah. A lot of times if they're getting more moisture, like you were saying, they're going to grow a little bit faster on the faster side.
I've seen pussy willows push three and a half feet of growth in a year. So it just depends on the growing season. Ohio can vary. If we warm up in April and stay beautiful and that plant's got plenty of moisture, it can push a lot of growth. If we're cold till the middle of May and then we're only, in the 70s and 80s for a week or two, and then we go into the 90s, it reduces the amount of growth that plant will push.
Okay.
Well, temperature and moisture really controls the growth that we see on the plant material.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as we look around and maybe, I don't know if you know this kind of thing, Matt, you probably do because you know everything. But
my wife just laughed her head off.
She's going, yeah, right. So when it comes to like trimming trees, maybe on a grander scale, when do you know that it's time to get trees trimmed?
So that's a great question, too. There's certain plants that you don't want to prune in the springtime. So like if we're talking about dogwood trees, their buds and flowers are already set for this spring. And if you trim on that tree right now, you're going to cut the flowers off. Well, those flowers are really one of the things we enjoy about the tree. So those types of trees that bloom in the springtime, generally, those are going to be pruned right after they're done flowering. Because what they'll do is they'll flower and then they'll leaf out.
Okay.
So there's other trees like maples and oaks. They can be trimmed right now without issue.
Okay. And I guess, is there any kind of a rule of thumb, like once a year or just have to judge based on what it is?
Now, there are some trees that are going to, the faster they grow, probably the more often they're going to need that maintenance of trimming. But there are some trees that don't require a lot of pruning. Generally, they're the kind of the medium and the slow growers. They kind of shape themselves. As far as evergreens grow, like our spruce trees, they're an evergreen, and there's some varieties of arborvitae also. They require very little to no maintenance on the pruning. So that is one of the questions that we ask customers, how much time do you want to spend in maintenance on the plants that you're planting? And then we'll gear our recommendation to what trees or shrubs they should use, determined by how much time they want to put into the maintenance of that plant.
Okay. All right, let's jump to the phones here. We have Sue in Maslin. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question for Matt. I want to replace some of my shrubs, and I found this. It's called Copper Glow Box Honeysuckle. Are you going to carry that this year? It's a new
I will
plant.
Check and I can check and see if any of my growers have that available. It's not one I'm familiar with. Now, the honeysuckle comes in a vine and a bush. Is this the bush version of the honeysuckle?
Yes. It says it's an evergreen disease-resistant foliage.
Okay. So on honeysuckle, they're considered a semi-evergreen here. Some years they're going to keep their foliage. Some years they're going to drop their foliage and then reflush really early in the spring. Euonymus are kind of the same style plant where they will sometimes keep their foliage. Sometimes they'll drop and reflush foliage. It just depends on our winter and how much stress they are in the wintertime and whether we have a wet or a dry fall. But yes, we do carry a couple different types of bush honeysuckle, and I can check and see if that variety is available. If you just want to stop in the store sometime, give me your name and number and the exact plants you're looking for, and I can special order stuff in for people if it's available.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call, Sue. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, again, 330-450-1480. That's the number to call. You can send an email to pcook@whbc.com. We'll take our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about getting ready for spring. I saw flowers, and we can't wait. So spring officially arrives on Monday. Just keep that in mind. And we'll be back. It's Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. All right, we are back. It is Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. Matt and Rachel are here. I'm here. And we would love for you to be here as well. Give us a call at 330-450-1480. And also, don't forget, you can send me an email. I'd be more than happy to answer or ask the question for you. And then you can listen, and Matt and Rachel will give all of their wonderful, wise wisdom and a great answer, so you'll be happy. How's that sound? Did I say it all right?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. So, you know, when I saw the flowers, you know, I get overly excited about the flowers. Even my mom said to me last night, I can't wait till you're planting flowers. And well, we've still got a little bit of time to go. So talk about the stuff that's coming in right now, Matt. Like, what are you guys still dealing with unloading, you know, all those things?
So we've got lots of trucks coming in. Yesterday we had three semi-loads come in, and it's dormant trees. And the reason we're so busy in March is because we want to bring these trees in while they're still dormant. They're not actively growing, which is really important for the transportation of the trees. There's significantly less stress involved if we can get them here this time of year. Now, the bald and burlap material that we're bringing in, which is our larger size material, it's what you're not going to see most other places. Those, because they're grown in a field outside, it's really important that those be dug and shipped dormant. If they're shipped after foliage on them, generally there's significant damage. So this is the time of year where we load up for the entire year on our inventory. So lots of work goes in. I think we're up over 2,000 trees in so far. Mm-hmm. So the selection is going to be extremely good this year.
Do you guys, I think I probably know the answer to this question, but do you continue to get items in like that all year long, all season long?
That's a good question. A lot of the trees that we bring in later in the season are container grown, meaning they're grown in a pot. So the field grown stuff is generally brought in now, all the way through probably the middle of April. They'll stop digging, depending on the weather. Sometimes they can get into the first week of May, but by that time we want to be focusing our efforts on our customer, being able to give them the service that and share our knowledge that a lot of our sales staff has over 20, 30 years experience. So it's important that we get our work done now so that we can really be here and give that customer that service that they're not going to find elsewhere later, which is the other reason we work in March. It's no fun on the 30, 35 degree rain days, but it's done for a purpose so that later on we can really be spending that time with that customer and making sure they get exactly what they need in the right plant for the right space.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, too, because if you're thinking of one thing, this is why we always talk about the planning. When you're thinking of one thing, it could change as time goes on, but it also may need to change because you may have picked something that's not going to fit or work in your yard.
Correct. I had a customer come in last summer, and they have family that lives in the Columbus area, and they were down visiting, and they came in, they're like, My sister has this plant. I really want to have this plant. And we got to talking about it, and we just determined what the plant was. And it is a sensitive zone 6 plant. We're technically zone 5 here. So that plant could grow here, but it has to be like on the east side of the house in a very protected cubby, like in a nook of a house where it's protected from the winter winds, and you can't have that plant here. But it's not a plant that you can plant out in the wide open, just in the middle of the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like a winter that we had, like a winter like we had this past year, it'd be fine.
Fine. Mm-hmm. But if we have an Ohio winter like we did 4 or 5 years ago where we were negative 20 for 20 days, that's going to be a problem. And so that's what we try to educate our customers when they come in and ask for something that isn't going to do well here, unless it's in the right environment. We're going to ask those questions, make them aware that it has to be in that right environment and share that knowledge that we have so that they're successful.
So if you had, you know, and you're talking about protecting them and that kind of thing. So if you had to determine what was going to be one of the more hardy things to plant, you know, when it comes to trees and things like that, what's really your best bet?
So it depends on what you're looking for shrub-wise, tree-wise. There's one of the prettiest flowering plants, we talk about them a lot in the summertime, is the paniculata hydrangeas, or the cone-shaped flower hydrangeas. They are super hardy. They have about a 6 to 8 week bloom time, so a really long time of blooming. Probably for flowering shrubs, arguably that could be one of the hardiest flowering shrubs that we sell. They're very adaptable to sun and part shade. They won't take deep shade, but they'll take that sun to part shade, and they're extremely hardy in the winter. The deer don't generally mess with that variety of hydrangea. If we get out into like evergreens, not a whole lot beats a spruce tree or a green giant arborvitae. Those two types of plants make your best screens. They grow, like a green giant grows very quickly, so it depends on how much time they have and how much work they want to put into it. The spruce trees are pretty low maintenance, so are the green giant arbs. The green giant just grows a lot faster than a spruce tree, 18 to 18 inches a year probably on average, whereas spruce trees grow 6 to 8 inches a year. So if you need a big screen quick, then we're going to steer you towards that green giant because we know you're going to have success with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like all that stuff, like what you just talked about, the average person really would have no idea that that's what they, all the things that they need to consider. There's a lot to consider.
There is. And those considerations are what determines your success. And that's important for us. We want our customers to be successful. Let's face it, it costs money and it's a lot of work to go out there and do this stuff. And you want to do that work, you're going to do that work, and you want to be successful with your efforts. Nothing's worse than going out there planting something, being all excited for it, and then the first winter, because of where it's at, it doesn't do well. And then you're discouraged, and we want to prevent that.
All right. Before we go to break, we're going to go back to the phones real fast. Here we have Ted in Canton. You're on the air with Aurora's Nursery. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ted.
Ted, are you there? I don't know. Must be gone.
Hola.
I must be gone. I don't know. Well, how about we'll take our break. We'll see if we can get Ted back on, and we'll get to him after the news. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, let's grow together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. All right, we are back. It is a Thursday morning. It's Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. It's our weekly call-in show. We've got Matt and Rachel with us this morning. And we've been talking, I think we've covered a wide gamut of different kinds of topics. So I couldn't get Ted. I don't know what happened to Ted. Ted left us, guys. So, Ted, come back. We'd love to talk to you. 330-450-1480. That's the number to call. Or, of course, as I mentioned, you can send an email to me, and I'd be more than happy to ask the question for you. My email address is pcook@whbc.com. So, Rachel, what kind of things are you up to this time of year? I mean, we're getting close, middle of March. We're moving slowly but surely.
We are, yeah. We are getting a greenhouse, you know, ready to go. Like I mentioned, we got some primrose and pansies in, so that's all exciting. And I've been getting ready. We're going to have some classes and some different discussions and topics coming up in April. So we're going to do, on April 14th, I'm going to do a class on composting and like soil health. So if you're interested on starting composting or, you know, just kind of wants more information, we're doing that. And then also, too, we're going to have one on perennial bed maintenance and pollinators, like the importance of pollinators. So that one's on April 21st. And then coming up in May, it's a bit out yet, but it's still, you know, time flies.
Yeah, it does.
We're going to do one on herbs. So I'm going to just, you know, talk about some different forgotten things and some fun facts and, you know, just talk herbs.
Yeah, that sounds good. There's so many different things that that you have to learn when you get to it. You're like, oh, gee, I don't really know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, all right. And it's exciting. You know, it's just kind of fun just to kind of, you know, just get all together and talk and just, you know, ask questions you might not have thought of. And,
yeah,
you know, I think a lot of times that's kind of how we all learn, you know, so.
All right, let's go back to the phones, guys. We have Steve in Jackson Township. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Yes, got a question about when to put down for grub control? What time of the year?
That is a great question, and it depends on whether you treated last year or not. So if you're trying to kill the baby grubs, you're not going to put anything down until probably June or July. That will kill this, you know, coming season's grubs. If you didn't use a grub control last year and you're having damage in the spring, it's a different type of product. You want to use a product containing Dilox for the spring grubs. If you're trying to prevent grubs from the following season, you're going to use a product with Merit in it, and that's going to be put down sometime in, you know, late June, early July.
Okay, so look for something with Dilox, because I did treat last year.
Okay, yep. Dilox is a fast-acting chemical. It's only in the ground for about 7 to 10 days effectiveness. The Merit product lasts for 6 to 8 weeks. It's designed to kill all those baby grubs in the fall. They're easier to kill in the fall. Merit is not effective on those grubs in the spring, and I've dealt with a lot of customers in the past that use it to try to kill spring grubs, and they are not successful with it. So, again, here's important information. Now, that Dilox, you're not going to put that down until probably the end of April, beginning of May. You want to make sure the grubs are active. Yep, they're not active yet. It's the ground temperature is still way too cold. Now, that depends on our weather. If we warm up and hit a stretch of 70s and 80s in April, then that activation is going to happen quicker. But you do want to wait until all the grubs are active, because that chemical, like I said, only lasts for a short period of time in the soil, but it's very effective on the adult grubs.
Okay. I got another quick question.
Yeah.
Crabgrass.
Mm-hmm.
I know the temperature's got to get to a certain degree before it starts germinating.
Correct.
And when's the best time in Ohio to put down the crabgrass inhibitor?
That's a great question.
End of April?
It takes several days of 50-degree temperatures, and that's a loaded question because it is Ohio.
Sometimes
that'll happen mid-April, sometimes the end of April, sometimes even the first week of May. The good thing about the crabgrass preventer is it lasts for about 6 to 8 weeks. So you have a pretty large window. I would say if you put that down any time from the beginning of April to the middle of April, you're going to cover your crabgrass germination. Also, something to be thought about, if you're going to put new grass seed down in that area, you do not want to use a crabgrass preventer. Or you want to use what's called Siduron, which is a smart chemical. It knows the difference between crabgrass seeds and grass seeds and only kills the crabgrass seeds. Because if you just use a standard pre-emergent that kills crabgrass, it's going to kill that grass seed as it tries to germinate as well. It's designed to kill all seeds as they germinate, but it doesn't hurt the grass that's already actively growing.
Does that
make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay.
I appreciate your show. You guys do a good job.
Thank you, Steve.
Right, thanks for the call.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go. I think we have Ted back on the line. Ted is in Canton. You're on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Hello, and good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got two good questions. I don't know if they're good, but I got two questions. Can I trim my fruit trees this weekend, prune them?
Yeah, so a lot of fruit trees can be pruned. It might be a touch early, but I would say you could still do some pruning. It's going to be a while till they leaf out with the temperatures. I even looked next week, and we're still going to be – nighttime temperatures are still pretty cold. So you have some time yet. I did see one night next week where we're supposed to drop possibly into the high teens. Ideally, we want the brunt of winter to be over. One night here and there isn't going to hurt the plants, but it is still March in Ohio. So I would say you could do it now, but if you wait another week or two, that would be fine as well.
Okay, good. Thank you. And I have a trumpeter vine. I planted about 15 years, and it's actually pretty huge. I have a problem where it's attacking my septic tank.
Oh, no.
They told me I got to get rid of it. What's the best way to kill that thing?
Okay, so trumpet vine is a pretty aggressive grower.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
If you can dig the base out of the ground where it goes into the ground and cut that, maybe a foot diameter circle around the base of that trunk, that's going to take care of 95% of the chance that it could come back. If there is enough root mass still left there, you could see some small shoots come up. And as they come up, if it's grass in that area, you can use Weed Be Gone. If there's nothing else growing in that area, you could use Roundup on any of the little shoots that come back. Generally, if you get the base of the root system out, it's going to be good enough, then that plant shouldn't come back.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Rick in Perry. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good
I have a few questions for you. I have a butterfly bush that I trimmed some of it back, about half of it back last fall before the weather turned real cold. Now, I was told I shouldn't trim it all the way down until spring. So is this a good time to get on that and trim that back?
So that's a good question. Now, butterfly bush on a mild winter like we just had, the stems or the canes that are left up may still be alive. And the best way to know whether that's alive or not is to take your thumbnail or fingernail and scratch the bark, just the outer bark. If it's green underneath, that stem actually lived through the winter, and the growth will come back off of that stem. If you scratch and it's kind of like a yellow-brown color underneath, then that stem did not live, and you'll want to trim it back to where you get to green wood. Sometimes those are going to go all the way back to the ground, and they'll come back from the root system.
Okay, and how aggressive can I be on the trimming of that this spring?
It's a pretty good recovering plant. So what that means is that if you prune it aggressively, it generally comes back pretty good. If you're going to prune it aggressively, also fertilize it aggressively. Use like the granular all season and be liberal with it when you put it down. You want to make sure you put quite a bit of fertilizer down. That helps that plant recover from that hard pruning.
Okay. Same question basically on a hydrangea tree. Is this a good time for me to shape up that tree? Because I didn't do any trimming last fall on it.
Yes, yes, the hydrangea tree, and you can be aggressive with those. They do recover quite easily from a hard pruning, but I would recommend the same thing there. Also use a bunch of that all-season fertilizer around the base of it. It's like an IV for plants. It kind of gives it a little bit more nutrients all the time, and it feeds for up to 6 months. So it pretty much covers you for the whole season as far as not having to do any more fertilization, and it will help that plant recover. But, yeah, you can get pretty aggressive with we've seen the heads of like a 3-foot by 3-foot tree cut back to, you know, 15 inches, 18 inches by 18 inches. So you can get pretty aggressive on those, and they recover quite easily from that.
Okay, last question then. Same basic question on a rhododendron.
Okay. The rhododendron's a different story. How big is the rhododendron we're talking about pruning?
It's about 3.5 feet tall and probably about 2 feet wide.
Okay. All right. What are your goals? What size
just
do you
want
to get that down to?
Just to basically shape it up a little bit.
Okay, so that's good. You don't want to let the rhododendron get too far out in front of you because it is harder to prune those back and have them recover. My recommendation with the rhododendron would be wait till it's done blooming. As soon as the plant is done blooming, you'll see where the flower head is. The new growth comes from right underneath the base of the flower head. And as that new growth starts to come up, it's very soft and pliable, and you can snap those pieces off or use a pair of pruners and trim them off, and then you can snap that new growth off. Wherever that growth comes from, you're going to get about 6 inches of growth out of that plant. So at that time of year, if the center of the plant's getting too tall and you want the sides to kind of catch up, you'll trim the new growth off the top of that plant and allow the growth on the side to continue up.
Okay, and all this pruning should be done fairly soon, I would think.
Yeah, with the exception of the rhododendron. That one you're not going to probably prune.
Okay.
I mean, the rhododendrons flower anytime from the end of April through the middle of May, depending on our spring and how quick we get warm.
So probably around June would be a good time to trim that then?
Yeah, you don't want to wait too late because as that growth comes up, it's using energy. And if you snap the growth off or trim the growth off where you don't want it to come on the plant, it's going to take that energy and send it to the other parts that you do want the growth on. You'll get better growth in those other areas.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Take care. Bye.
Hi. All right, let us go to Brenda in Canton. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have what they call the magic lilies. I don't know the real name for them.
Mm. Oh.
They come up a lot out of the garden center. You plant the bulbs and these big green leaves come up in about July, these tall lilies magically appear.
I know which one you're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're also they're called naked ladies on naked ladies
okay.
as well.
Because when I go to a greenhouse to ask for them, they look at me like I have two heads. They don't know what I'm talking about. But now I'll have a name for them. But
yeah,
I have
it's an
one
easy one to remember, right?
Easy, real easy. But I have one that I planted in 1995. I brought it from Kentucky at my great uncle's farm. I planted it. It did not bloom till 2001, and it's been blooming ever since. Well, 3 years in 2020, I had acquired a dozen of them for my niece who had sold her house and moved to Texas. We planted them in the fall. Okay, the next spring, the big green weeds they look like grew up everywhere. They died down. They never bloomed, and neither did my one that I've had since 1995. Did I do something? I mean, I wouldn't let them. I was always there when they came to cut the grass, so I wouldn't even let them cut it down after those green sprigs had died down.
Well,
I lost them completely.
Well, I know sometimes things do, they kind of go through periods where they don't bloom and they bloom, but usually, you know, when you see the leaves that you are going to see the flowers. My guess would be that maybe a deer got to them before you saw them.
We don't have deers. We have groundhogs. I live in the city, so we have deer, we have groundhogs, but
a lot of times they don't bother the lilies, but you know, if there's not a lot around or anything, they will get to them, and sometimes they'll get to them before you see them, especially since the leaves are gone by then. So it's always a good idea. It wouldn't hurt to throw some fertilizer down, like around that area. That's not going to hurt them, but I don't think you did anything, honestly. I think that was just probably something going on in nature there.
Okay. What kind of fertilizer should I put down?
Honestly, that or even just like a granular, really, because, I mean, they are going to do I think anything is going to really help. But yes, any kind of like a high middle number or like triple superphosphate or something is going to help really encourage blooming. So I would do something like that. That would probably be your best bet.
All right, and I thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thanks for the
call.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got some more folks waiting on the phone lines, and we'll get to those when we get back. And the number is 330-450-1480. I also have an email that I'm going to get to as well. We are back. Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. It is our weekly call-in show. Let's jump back to the phones now. We have Dana in Canton. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning. I have a question about, the guy was talking about trumpet vine, and I know that, like, trumpet vine and wisteria can be so very invasive.
Yep.
But my question is, I have sort of a pergola type of an arbor in my back. It's pretty strong now, but I know that it's not going to last too many years. And I was wondering if I could plant, like, trumpet vine around it, and would it become like its own arbor if I pruned it? So once the arbor itself like deteriorates, will it be able to, you know,
maintain
stand on
that
its own?
Shape of the arbor? Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, it is going to take some heavy pruning and shaping to make that happen. There, you'll see archways at some of the arboretums and gardens that are made out of those vines.
That'd be beautiful.
Yeah, we actually sell a trumpet vine as a vine, and we also sell trumpet vine as a tree. It's a much older plant. It's been staked. The vine itself has become rigid and now supports the head of that vine. Understand that trumpet vine and wisteria, like you said, they're very aggressive growers and invasive a little bit. They will tear apart a wooden structure over time because the wood starts to deteriorate and the vine becomes stronger. But if that's the end goal, as that wooden structure starts to fall apart, the vine should have enough strength to the trunk as the vine calipers to maintain that shape, and you can just sawzall the wooden structure apart, and the vines should hold their shape.
That's what I was hoping for. Oh my gosh, that would be so.
Wouldn't
cool.
That would be beautiful.
I think so. Now I have another question. Do you? I think it's called spirea. It's like maybe a bridal veil. I know in the spring, it shoots out these long, almost like weeping willow type branches that just they look so great.
Beautiful white flowers on that one. Yes.
Yeah. Is that bridal veil or bridal wreath?
There's a couple different varieties of it, but bridal veil, bridal wreath. There's another one called, I think, wedding gown that's in that same family.
Yeah,
so there's a couple different varieties that are all similar to what you're talking about there, and they are all in that spirea family. And that's something that we'll bring in a little later in the spring as it gets closer to that plant bloom cycle.
That was my question, see if you had any coming in.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to plant me my trumpet vine and get me some spirea.
Well, you enjoy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye. All right, and let's get to Linda in Canton. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
What kind of climbing rose would there be for a trellis that you put against the house? And
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What kind of climbing rose would there be for a trellis that you put against a house?
That's a good question. We'll have an entire classification of roses. Now, the roses probably won't show up till last week of April, first week of May, because they're forced, and so they're out, and we want to be able to protect them from the cold, so we don't bring those in till a little later. But we'll have an entire line of climbing roses. There should be pinks and reds, possibly some yellows, white. So you'll have a lot of different options there. As long as they're in the climbing rose family, they'll all work for that trellis that you were talking about.
Any resistance to the Japanese beetle?
Not too much on the roses. Unfortunately, the Japanese beetle, the best way to control those on a rose would probably be the Bear 3-in-1. It's a spray we use here at the nursery ourselves. We use it on, and it covers a broad spectrum of things. So it won't just work on the Japanese beetle. It'll work on the Japanese beetle and spider mites and leaf fungus. It protects the rose from a lot of different issues that the roses can sometimes have. That's one of the plants I do preventatively spray. Like I said, most of the time I like to see a problem before we start putting any type of chemical down. Roses are one it's better to stay in front of than get behind on.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. We're almost out of time, but I got to get this question in from the email. Poor Frank's been waiting, but he wants to know what he's looking for options for types of ground cover for a bank in front of his house.
Okay, so I'll go through two shrub options here. The ground cover junipers are really popular. There's one called Blue Rug, another one called Japanese Garden Juniper. They make an excellent ground cover for a bank if you're looking for a more permanent evergreen structure. And then I'll let Rachel talk about the perennial ground covers.
There's a lot of different, you know, ivy. There's Lysmachia.
Pachysandra
is a good one. There are definitely a lot of good options. Ajuga is another good one. All in all, I mean, we can always, once the season starts going, we can give you some good tips if you come in and show you.
Yeah.
And our display pond in the back corner has got one of the Japanese garden junipers we planted like 15 years ago. So you can really see how it crawled and developed and covers that ground. And we can show you the different options. We do want to know how many hours of sunlight that area gets. It's really important when we're planting ground covers that we know the answer to that.
All right. And
we can talk more about that.
We'll talk more about that next week because we're out of time now. Matt, give me phone numbers here real quick.
Yep, got two Roar's Nursery locations, 5357 Everhard Road in Canton. Their phone number is 330-492-1243 and 7211 Portage Street in Massillon. Our phone number is 330-499-0101.
All right, good stuff today, guys. I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Talk to you then.